Let us turn again to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, and at verse 11. Isaiah, chapter 40, at verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And following on from what we tried to say on Sabbath evening, we shall try to say a little further on this verse this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Our first point then was the basis for this promise. And the basis, we might say, is in the work of Christ Jesus, who came into this world to save sinners, who came into this world to provide for the care of all his sheep. Those whom the Father gave to him from all eternity, he came into the world in the fullness of time that he might save them. And what a provision that was. The sheep are, of course, Christ's followers. They hear his voice and they follow. He is the good shepherd. And we read that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In the place of the sheep. Yes. One has read of people in this world who gave their lives for others. And I suppose there is something of that in what we hear about someone seeing another person in the water and drowning, and they dive in and perhaps lose their own life in the effort of saving someone else. Now that, of course, is an example, but of someone giving his life instead of another person. But what we have here is what's altogether higher, altogether greater, altogether more wonderful. The Son of God, God the Son, coming into this world to suffer and die in the place of sinners. Now, you see, it's a very wide promise, a very deep promise that we have here. I mean deep in the sense of what is in it. Huge amount in it. He has a flock, as this shepherd, and he will feed them, or it seems to be shepherd them. In the whole sense of what a shepherd does for his sheep. And here, of course, it's what a perfect shepherd does for his sheep. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. The lambs are particularly mentioned. Those who have particular need. They are weak, immature. And how immature the people of God are. Compare them with what they will be in heaven. And one thing you can say is, they're still very immature. But what a wonderful thing that he shall gather them together with his arm pointing to his power. He will carry them in his bosom. That's another way of putting it. Very tenderly, you might say, with a concern and a love. The shepherd showing his love for the sheep that he carries them back in his bosom. Yes, and gently leading those that are with young, those that are carrying a lamb or lambs. They need particular care. He's not going to overdo it when he leads them on. He's not going to force them on in a way that will sap their strength altogether. So that's what you have. It's all pictorial, of course. We recognize that readily. And you see, that's what we have again and again in Scripture. That's what we have in the parables of the Savior. The Savior teaching those with limited understanding, if any spiritual understanding at all. What a provision. What a shepherd. A perfect shepherd. And acting towards the sheep, each one of them, just according to what they need. Isn't that how it should be? And everything about the good shepherd will be exactly as it should be. Now, you see, the Savior's words in the passage of Scripture that we read together, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the living bread. And indeed, I am the life-giving bread, he could say also. And you see, there is speaking to them, Jews, and they were ready to argue, asking for a sign. And they say, a sign from Jesus, that he would show them a sign, as if his words were not enough. And as if they shouldn't have been asking, Lord, open our eyes, that we might see wonderful things out of thy law. And pointing to the psalm, open thou mine eyes. Let us be asking that together here, indeed each one by himself or herself. Open my eyes, open my ears, open my understanding. When I am as poor as I am, but you see, what we should be seeing is the greatness of the provision. The wonder of the one that came into the world to save sinners. And he is on the throne of glory now as a good shepherd going out to gather in the sheep. But what I was going to point to was the Jews referring to the manna and saying about God and pointing out that it was written in Scripture, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now that was physically, that was for their mortal bodies, to keep them alive. But there's something more. When we are pointed to, well, all the teaching in our text, and in the passage we read in John chapter 6, there's so much, but there's so much that is pointing beyond what the verses expressly say. There's a reference to bread, a reference to the manna. And then the Savior says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now let me emphasize the expression, the true bread, and what it is pointing to. It's if we take the manna to be a type of spiritual food, then when Christ is speaking about the true bread, what he is pointing to is the manna as a type of spiritual food, and that Christ himself was the true bread. In other words, Christ himself was what the manna was pointing to. That's the real bread. And you can have that in terms of the various types of Christ. Perhaps just think of David as a type of Christ, and that Christ can say, I am the true David. I am the one in whom David is, as a type is fulfilled. Yes. And all that the Savior speaks about eating, and eating himself, is following on from what I've just been saying. Following on. And you see, when, for instance, you look at verse 51 in John 6, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He is the living bread. He is what will feed the soul of us in it. That's it. He is the one that took human nature that he might die, that he might offer himself up as a sacrifice. I am the true bread, he says, and except ye eat this bread, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. And receiving Christ as the one who died, as the one who offered up himself, whose body was broken, his flesh was so marred more than any man's. Yes, and his blood was poured out. And we are to receive him spiritually, according to that pattern. We are to receive him as the one that gave himself a ransom for many, that many might eat his flesh and drink his blood, because he is the real manna, because his blood is the real blood. There was plenty blood spilt around the altar at the temple. Yeah. Well, this is the one, you see, who is saying, I will feed my flock like a shepherd. We have no record of Christ speaking to somebody on the road somewhere, and he might say, I am the true shepherd. I am the one who is pictured in that verse in the prophecy of Isaiah. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That's it. Now, let us go on and look briefly at Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, says David. Jehovah the Son is my shepherd. My shepherd. Oh, can we say that? May the Lord by his grace put us all into that position so that we might be able to say, Jehovah the Son is my shepherd. He is a good shepherd. I found him so. As I read the word, as I read John chapter 10, as I try to apply it to myself, I find him to be a good shepherd. And then again, you see, you have the the good shepherd. And he was making David and many another follower of Christ, many another sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See the care of the shepherd. See the shepherding of the shepherd. Bringing him where there is food. And enabling the believer to find spiritual food in John chapter 6, let us say. Or in Isaiah 40. Spiritual food for the good of their souls. That's it. I am the good shepherd. Leading the sheep to a pasture. Oh, how good it would be if in gathering together to the word of God that we would be appreciating the good pastures, the still waters that there are in the word of God, where we may get feeding for our souls, where we may get drink for our souls, where we may get good for our souls. And then, he restoreth my soul. Oh, the shepherd finds a sick sheep. What does the sheep need? Well, we can just put it like this. The sheep needs the care of the good shepherd. And David had found this. He restoreth my soul. He restores my soul to a degree of health. I was very sick at one time. My eyes went wandering. And I saw Bathsheba. And I was very sick after that. There was a sickness because of temptation, we might say. And it took a long time, as we understand, say from Psalm 32, before David was healed. But you see, he, the good shepherd, restored my soul. And then he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake, for the glory of his name, for the glory of Christ, as he has revealed himself in Scripture, and as he has revealed himself in his gracious dealings with his people. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will hear no evil, for the shepherd is with me. The shepherd is dealing graciously with me. The shepherd is keeping me from despairing in the dark valley. Yes, however dark it might be, however dark might be the temptation or the result of the temptation, but you see, thou art with me. The shepherd is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Yes. The care of the good shepherd. I'm just outlining things just now. But trying to use the text to shed light on that psalm that most of us, I'm sure, know so well. Perhaps everyone. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of Satan, let us say. And his temptations. And his discouraging work. And his whispers in the soul. That there's a table prepared. And what's a table for? Well, it's a place for food to be spread on. With the expectation that David or anyone else will eat of that food. And get spiritual blessing. Get spiritual good, even in the presence of the enemies. You see, the Lord will make provision by means of his promises, for instance, and also in sending the devil away. Yes. The devil with his temptations and the shepherd with the antidote to these temptations. Whatever in particular it needs at any particular time, whatever statement from the Word of God is needed to keep that child or sheep, to use the patterns that we have in our text, pattern perhaps I should say. Yes. Whatever is needed, whether it's the use of the rod or the staff to protect the sheep, perhaps pulling it in with his crook. Well, I'm not going into detail as I'm saying, but you see, my cap runneth over, and thou anointest my head with oil. Perhaps we can just take just now the oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit taking of the things that are Christ's and revealing them to the sheep. Yes. And applied by the Holy Spirit, you see. My cup runneth over. What a provision. No lack of provision. There's plenty there and plenty more. And I think I mentioned on Sabbath, at one of the services anyway, the fullness of the storehouses in Egypt, as one would understand. There was so much in it before the in them before the years of famine that it would seem, and I think that's perfectly clear, that the storehouses never went empty. Perhaps some of them did, but there was plenty in the others. Nobody needed to go hungry. And the sheep of Christ, they don't need to go hungry. I would think there would be something significant left over when the famine was at an end. Well, that's Christ's table. That's the provision. One might say that the treasures in heaven, or treasure in heaven, it's always full. Not even at the end of the world will treasure in heaven, the treasures in heaven, the treasure houses in heaven, the storage facility of whatever kind we might take it as, it's always full. And however much the sheep may take from the storehouses of the New Testament, Joseph, they will never be empty. They will always be full. Oh, never say, I mustn't take too much. Take all you can. The more the better. There's a fullness of blessing for sinners. And this is the result of it all. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what's true for every sheep. Not every sheep will be totally convinced that they are among the sheep, the true sheep of Christ. But you see, let them think of their desires. What was Peter's desire? When he was asked, would he go away? To whom shall we go, he said, answering for all the disciples. To whom shall we go? That was the words of eternal life. He didn't want to go away. He couldn't go away. He wanted what Christ would give him. He wanted what the shepherd would give him. Yes. Peter stumbled, that is so. But he was brought back. He wasn't allowed to slip away altogether. He wasn't allowed to lose his character as a sheep. Yes. He was brought back. Oh, whatever might discourage you, whatever temptation might discourage you, whatever giving in to temptation might discourage you, remember the storehouse in heaven. Remember that it is still full. Is somebody turning away, in a sense, from the storehouse in heaven? Well, let us, having received something significant from that storehouse, well, you see, will there be enough for me, are you asking? Is it right for me to receive out of that treasure? Of course it is. If you think, and we're only speaking in human terms, speaking in pictures, just to help us. If the last person has taken a great, big bag full, I'm thinking of Joseph's brothers and using that analogy, a large bag full of corn. But if the sheep of Christ are taking a large bag of spiritual blessings, saying as they come to the shepherd, thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, then let them not be discouraged. Let them take as much as they can carry away, and let them be ready to come back again immediately, to feed on that, on the treasures in heaven again. And they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes. And so you can say with them, as the Apostle John has it in Revelation 7, the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The provision, whatever sadness, whatever has upset them, but however the temptations of Satan and their own unbelief may have upset them. You see, even in this world, there's a provision. And in the world to come for the sheep, there is a perfect provision. Yes, the provision in this world is perfect. But what is true in another world is that they're always conscious of having a perfect provision. They're never conscious of need. The sun shines all the time. That is just in. Their sun shall no more go down. Take another picture. They're perfectly provided for, and they're a perfect consciousness of having that provision. Yes, but just to say very briefly, I've referred once or twice already to the provision for the weak. But you see, take another example of that in Isaiah 42. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. However weak a sheep is, though they can hardly stand to their feet, though they might imagine they can't take another step forward. The provision is absolutely complete. Let them take it. Let them be asked to be made willing and able to receive a full provision for what you have in God's treasures, Christ's treasures, the shepherd's treasures in heaven. And notice at the end of our chapter, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no strength, he increaseth strength. And then, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the result of taking a full helping from the treasures in heaven. Or again, Isaiah 41, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. Now, I'm just quoting these verses. I'm leaving them with you. But I leave you with this also, in connection with the provision that is, the provision the shepherd is making for his sheep, for all his sheep, strong or weak. You see, it can be summed up in this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm saying that, of course, to the unconverted, but I'm also saying it to those who are the sheep. Christ is calling you to come to him. You might wander away, more or less. But this is the remedy. This is what Christ has to say. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us.